got your word with you. All right. If you have it on your cell phone, I won't yell at you, okay? But it's really tempting. All right. Y'all, if you need a Bible, we have some. You can raise your hand. The ushers will give you a Bible. All righty. We are closing out our series on How's Your Dirt? So this is the last Sunday. Look at somebody and say, how's your dirt? All right. All righty. All right. And we said, how's your dirt really has to do with your heart, right? Praise the Lord, you're done with that. Now, I'm going to give you a quick review since we're finishing up first week, we titled it Guard It. And really what happened is in Mark chapter 4, that's where we've been digging in, Mark chapter 4, Jesus goes and describes four different kinds of dirt, four different kinds of ground. And the fourth one, by the way, is what we really want to be. Four is the number we really want to be. But there are three different grounds he talks about, and he says the three of them got some problems. The three different kinds of ground have some problems. And in week one, we said this dirt here, which I brought in, was really hard and packed down. And really, Jesus says it was like a path that people had been walking over, and therefore it was hard. And the problem when the seed, which is the word of God that was thrown out, if you've got a hard heart, something came and stole it right away, all righty? And Jesus went and later on said in the scriptures, he said, nothing can get stolen out of your heart unless you don't understand it. And I went, huh? I don't think I understand that. But I was digging in there, and he said, the word of God can't get stolen out of your heart if you understand it. So what do you think you have to do? You got to get some understanding. So that was week one. If you didn't get it, the CDs are all free. You can go online, listen to them for free. All right, week two. Jesus said some seed fell on stony ground. Stony ground was different than the first one. And the stony ground, they received the word of God, okay? But when troubles come in your life and cares come in your life, you can get offended. So we talked a lot about offense. And I'm pretty sure everybody's had a moment in their life where they were offended. Anybody? Yep, just one. I've only been offended once in my life. Shoo, baby, I wish, all right? So when troubles come, we get offended. And we talked about how offense, you can be offended in your marriage. You can be offended on your job. You can be offended at church. Can you believe that? People get offended at church. Oh, Jesus. All right. So we entitled that message, Don't Go and Get Offended. Don't go, but grow. And really, don't go and get offended in your marriage and take off. Don't go and get offended on your job and just quit. Okay, I can't help it. You have an idiot for a boss, but that doesn't mean you quit, right? Right? And then the other one is don't go and quit because you get offended at church, right? So we were talking about offense, all righty. Praise the Lord. Because, when you stay, it's really interesting. If you stay in these positions, stay in these places, and you ask the Lord for his grace, and you ask the Lord for his help, you know what he'll do? He'll start growing you. So I think I'm growing up, finally. Anybody growing up? I hope I'm growing up. Okay, week three, we talked about weed it, don't feed it. And we said there's certain things in you that try to come into your dirt, certain things that try to come in your dirt, and it's going to try to choke the word. So you've heard the word, but it's going to try to choke the word. And we just kind of continued with week three into week four because I just couldn't figure out the ending. So I made two separate messages. And last week we said, don't feed the wildlife. How many remember that? And the wildlife was really talking about your flesh. And y'all got flesh. All right. And the thing about it is if you feed your flesh, if you feed your flesh, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just did that. And I remember this, a friend of mine, this was not me. She got so fleshed out at her husband, she picked up the frying pan and threw it at him. And the handle stuck in the wall. Yeah. Okay. So that was a little flesh, right? That was a lot of flesh going on. All right. So we said, don't feed the wildlife. Okay. Here we are. The last one. In Mark chapter 4. By the way, open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Now Jesus has given us four different kinds of ground, and we've gone over the three. This week, finally, we're going to go over good ground. Yay, we're going to go over the good stuff, all right? Now, how many of you would like to be known as good ground? Raise your hand. Yeah, I want to be known as the good ground. All right. I'm pretty sure everybody should raise their hand there. So, you know, in the first three grounds, when you read them in Mark, Jesus is very clear about telling you all the stuff not to do so you won't be bad ground. He's so delightful. I love Jesus. He'll tell you what not to do so you won't be bad ground. This week, yay, he's going to tell us what to do to be good ground. So this is smile. This is good ground. All righty. Y'all at Mark chapter 4, are you ready for this? Awful quiet. All right, Mark chapter 4, we're just going to read verses 8 and 20. 8 and 20, because we're finishing up, all right? And other seed, and other seed fell onto good soil, and the plants grew and increased. They yielded a crop that produced 30, 60, and 100 times as much as was sown. And then jump down to verse 20. It says, and those are the ones on whom seed was sown on good soil, and they heard the word, accepted it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 times. Praise God. All righty. So he says there's different kinds of ground, and we're going to talk about this is good ground and how we get to look this good. All right. We're going to talk about that today. Now, remember week one, I brought in my hard dirt here that sat around all winter. Okay. That was hard ground. And then I drew a picture on week two of the soil that was full of rocks and the flowers weren't doing too good. And then last week we talked about, I brought in the weeds, the thorny weeds. Okay. So this week, here we go. These are my petunias, right? They're actually looking pretty good. They're looking pretty good. And you know what? These are actually planted in good ground. They are. And you know what? Has anybody ever planted things outside where they didn't look so good? They actually died? Yeah. You forgot to water them or whatever. All right. So, but this is actually good ground. And I actually went out and bought Miracle-Gro potting soil. The expensive stuff, because I don't have a really good track record of the green thumb. So they're planted in good soil, so they're going to grow. Praise the Lord. Actually, I'm going to leave this in a hanging basket in my yard here. But you know, it's really interesting. Jesus talks about this soil growing. And you probably, if you've done any planting of seeds, which I've never done seeds, I just go buy the plants, stick them in the ground. All right. But so if you're the farmer kind that like to do that, awesome. But you take a seed, right, and you put it in the ground, like tomatoes, especially corn. You put one seed in the ground, and then you put another seed in the ground, and then you put another seed in the ground. And then what happens? One stalk comes up, then another stalk comes up. And another stalk comes up, right? You know what I'm talking about? You all look like I'm off the moon here, all right? Okay, but when it's all said and done, now you have, with the corn especially, a whole bunch of seeds, right? You got this corn cob. It's got a whole bunch of seeds. And yet, you started with what? One seed. One seed went in the ground, stalk came up, and you got a whole bunch of seeds. So Jesus is saying, if you will allow the word of God to be planted in your heart, to be planted in your dirt, in your life, okay, it can become good ground and you have a possibility of a 30, 60, and 100-fold seeds return. Now, I like the 100. Anybody like the 100? Go for the big stuff, right? Go for the big. All righty. So, Let me clarify something about this 30, 60, 100-fold return. And I said it in the very first week. This part in verse 8 and verse 20 is not specifically, write it down, talking about money. Okay? It's not in the context. And you have to read the whole context. The whole context is about the Word of God planting in your heart, right? It's not talking about money. But it will work. Okay. All righty. So it's not talking about money. It's actually talking about you getting the word of God in your life, right? You get the word of God in life and you take such as you take, go through your Bible and you take healing scriptures, and you know, every day, three times a day, I'm going to take healing scriptures. I'm going to read them. I'm going to look at them. I'm going to say them three times a day. I'm going to get those into my life. Okay. What's going to happen? What, a healing scripture is going to pop out? No, but what will happen if you take those healing scriptures and you speak them in your life, you say them over your life, you say them over your kids' life, you will start having healing in your body, right? That's the harvest. Praise God. All righty. Now, if you plant those scriptures in your heart, whether it's for, like I said, healing or righteousness or anything, and even finances, Jesus said, if they will start to produce in your life. Praise God. So there's some producing in my life there. How many like a harvest of good things in their life? Now, let's talk about this. If you plant scriptures in your life, you get to open up your Bible. You go digging in there. Better yet, you can go to my bookstore. We got a whole bunch on the whole topic. You name your topic, we've got many books. So I open up this and I start saying what God says, such as God says he wants me blessed. So every day before I put my feet on the ground, I go, Father, I thank you want me blessed. God, I thank you. You want blessings in my life. God, you want me to prosper. I'll start saying those things. And you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to pop out? Guess what? Manifestations of you being prosperous in your life. Alrighty? It works in your life. How many of you know the Word of God works in your life? How many of you have had times where you've dug in there and you've spoken it out? And it may not have happened 1 minute. Okay, it took some time. How many of you have had it prosper in your life, show up in your life? I have. Man, absolutely. So in Mark chapter 4, verse 20, Jesus gives us three things we have to do. Three things we have to do. So let's look at them, because he's saying, hey, you have to do three things in order to have good soil. In order to have good soil, you'll have to do three things. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, you have to hear the word. Look at verse 20. That's the first thing he said. You have to hear the word. So write that down. You have to hear the word. Now, it's really interesting. If you go back to the hard dirt, the stony dirt, the thorny dirt, guess what? They all heard the word, right? They all heard the word. They all heard the word, okay? But there was a problem. There was a problem with their dirt. So there was a problem with their dirt, all righty? Now, look at Luke 8:18. Look at Luke 8:18. So when we say there was a problem with their dirt, there was a problem with their heart, because we're really talking about our hearts, right, guys? Right? So there was a problem in their heart. Look what Luke 8:18 says. Take heed how you hear. And the New Living says, pay attention to how you hear. Everybody say, how you hear. All right. And then if you just write this down, I'm going to read it to you. Mark 4:24. It says, pay close attention to what you hear. Now say what you hear. So Jesus says, you got to watch out how you hear things and what you hear. How you hear things and what you hear. All righty. I'm going to give you an example. I was talking about this to somebody here. Have you ever noticed, Nevin gets up here, he's up in the front, and he stands up to go out. Guess what everybody does? Right? We all watch him. Like, where's he going? All right? Now, it's really interesting. I'm up here preaching, and that happens. Do you know really what happens? Besides, he's taking a left turn out there. Y'all aren't hearing anymore, right? Come on. You're all watching him. All right, so you're not hearing. You know why? We get distracted. Yep, and listen, in this life, in this society, this culture that we live, we have lots of distractions. And I'm not just talking about social media. I've told you all the time, so if I bring my phone, I sit down in the morning, every morning I get up, I grab my Bible, my cell phone has to be in the other room. I get so distracted, all right? So, but we have distractions, not just that. We have all kinds of distractions. See, we're all going to look right up here. Watch. See, you're not listening. We love you, Reed. Okay. Any of you that have ever taught kids, have you ever heard this? A child's attention span matches his age. Have you ever heard that? So in our preschool class, we have ages 3, 4, and 5. That means every 5 minutes, we do something different. Then we do something different. And then we do something different. Even if it's all right, everybody get up. Get out of that chair and move over here, because their attention span, it all matches their age. So I have been to some ministers' conferences, and you know what they say about church people? they say, okay, they say, listen, this is what I was told, okay? They say that your church people have a 10 to 15 minute attention span listening to me. And then they start getting distracted. Now you can focus. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But basically they were saying you got a 10 to 15 minute attention span till you get distracted. So you know what they tell us? Don't preach over 20 minutes. I thought, well, I don't practice that because, you know, we're going till 12 o'clock. Okay. But, listen, here's the deal. When, I've noticed this really seriously. I'm preaching about 15 minutes. I start seeing people get distracted and clock out. Yep, I love you anyway. Okay? And you know why? Listen, it's not all your fault. You know why? We live in a culture where everything's moving. Moving. It's not like 100 years ago. We've got TV. It's nonstop. You got this thing in your hand, right? You're just always moving and watching, okay? So because of that, we get distracted, all right, when somebody's up here. Unless I bring in something like this. And then you're like, focus, focus, or else I'm jumping around or swinging my hands. And if Jack were here, he'd be jumping on chairs, right? If you don't know Jack, you're like, he'd jump on chairs, okay? So, but it's interesting. Our mind has multiple different things going on, and it's really easy to get distracted. And that's why Jesus said, watch what you hear and how you hear. That's why he said that. I've quoted this scripture every week, 2 Timothy 2:7. 7 and 8, it says, that righteous man Lot, right? That righteous man Lot was vexed in his righteous soul. Soul is your mind, will, and your emotions. That righteous man Lot was vexed. He was pounded in his soul by what he saw and what he heard. So Jesus says, you got to watch out, okay, about what you hear. I want to do a commercial break. Write this down. Write down this author. His name is Judith, the guy. I can't even like my T's out here. J-U-D-T-H, Judith Smith. And he wrote a book called How's Your Soul? Incredible. How's Your Soul? How's Your Soul? How's Your Soul? And he made this statement here. Everything starts on the inside of you. Every distraction really will start up here in your life. Great book. Because you know what? Jesus really wants you to be healthy up here. Because if you're not healthy up here in your mind and in your emotions and the way you think, you're just going to constantly have blow-ups in your life, constantly have meltdowns in your life, constantly be upset with people. You're just not going to be in a good place. So go. You cannot borrow my book. Sorry, I already loaned it out. Go get this book. And the second book we do have in the bookstore, it's by Mac Hammond. I gave it to Nevin, or Sherry gave it to Nevin. It's called Soul Control, and the title goes, Soul Control. Whoever controls the soul controls your destiny. Think about that. Whoever's controlling your brain and how you think will control your destiny, how your life is. So if you get this thing thinking right, through the word of God, you're going to walk in the destiny God has. But if you've been just all over, you know, you're going to have a real deal of a time. So that's my commercial break. Judith Smith and Mac Hammond, two great books back there. Amen. Moving right along, Mark chapter 4. Here we go. There's three things you need to hear. We said number one is you have to hear the word. You have to hear the word. The second thing, write this down. You have to accept the word. You have to accept that. Write that down. You have to accept the word. And I thought, everybody accepts the word. Not really. Not everybody accepts the word, okay? Let me tell you why. Jesus said you have to accept the word. You have to accept the word because Jesus knew there were some hard things in that Bible. There were some hard things, and even Peter talked about Paul and some of the things he wrote. But we are told we need to accept the word. Let me give you a story about me. Yeah, how many of you know that I was raised in the Catholic faith up until I was about 21 years old? Went to Mass. I loved it. Just great. But then I encountered you all, and I started going to a church like you all, okay? Started going to the church. And one Sunday, the pastor started reading a scripture where Jesus was preaching to a whole group, And somebody comes running in the door. Jesus, Jesus, your brother and your mother and your sisters are here. They want to see you. Anybody remember that story? Okay, none of you? Oh my gosh. Okay, look it up. Okay. I can't remember exactly where it is. All right. And you know what? Jesus whips around and he says, all of you are my brothers and my sisters and my mother. And I had one of those, what? They're brothers and sisters and mothers? I didn't know that. Listen, I was raised in the Catholic Church. And mostly I didn't have a Bible, so I didn't read a Bible. So I'm not sure if someone said this, but I just believed Mary had a baby, his name was Jesus, and that was it. Okay? So when I heard this, I was like, what? That's really hard. I don't know about that. That really ruffled my feathers. And then I finally got my own Bible, and I started reading my Bible, and I found out that was in the Bible. All right, then it wasn't so hard. Now, let me give you another one that just really threw me over for a long time. This one here. How many of you remember the part where it says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your arm offends you, cut it off. I was like, oh, that's hard. Oh, I don't know if I'll ever be that saved. I mean, I just kind of have a going on here. Anybody else read that and think that? Okay, like cut your arm off, pluck your eyeballs out. It's just really, okay, I just was pretty basic in my Christianity there. But after I started getting a Bible, and after I started reading my Bible, after I started studying my Bible, I found out what that meant. And actually, what it meant was a lot harder. Yeah? You know that? So when your eye offends you, pluck it out. You know what that means? If you see something that's going to cause you to stumble, knock it off. Get rid of it. All right? And guys, that's super hard. I got that cell phone in my hand. All right? That's why I leave it in the kitchen when I'm reading. Okay? Or better yet, Amber Mace, she's not here. She teaches at Northeastern. Is Amber Mace Northeastern High School? Central. I knew it was up that way. Okay, she teaches there, and she was telling me that they all get the schools, my tax dollars, pay for these tablets or I something or others. Pads, tablets, all right? And she goes, ho, we got trouble. Kids, just because you put a block on it, they have figured out how to unblock it, and they are seeing things. They're into things they should not be. She's quite concerned. All right. So Jesus is saying, hey, if your eye offends you, you need to get rid of the stuff, the things that you're seeing all the time. That's simply what it means. Okay. How about this one? If your arm offends you, chop it off. You know what that means? It's talking about things out here. Okay. Stuff out here. If it's going to cause you not to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to get rid of it. Sometimes it's things in our life. Sometimes it's people in our life. Now, not your spouse, but people in your life, okay? So you have to get rid of it. So those are, for me, those are some of the things that were hard sayings. They were hard in my life. And Jesus says, you need to accept the word, right? You need to accept the word. And actually, when I read that, I go, oh, that means I need to grow up. Right? I need to grow up. If I'm having a hard time with the word that God spoke, that Jesus spoke, it's usually me that's got the problem. And I need to accept it and put it in my life. All right? Now, can I tell you something? It might just shock you. Ready? Put your seatbelt on. It might just shock you. But not everybody accepts everything I say on Sunday morning. Really? I found that out. You know, some people come to church, some people come just to judge. Oh, this Sunday, she only got a 4. She didn't do that good. All right? And listen, guys, Sunday is not about how good the preacher was. It's not how he performed. Did he have a YouTube video and 3 points? That's not what Sunday's about. That's what it's not about, right? Say, that's not what it's about, Pastor D. And it's not about how many times I made you laugh either. You know what it's about? My job is to sow seed out here to all y'all. My job is to sow seed, and your job is to accept it or reject it, right? Well, I reject every time that lady talks about money. Ah, don't listen to 2 cents about her. Do you know the Bible talks more about money and giving and money, how you use your money, where you give your money? It talks, got more scriptures about money. Everybody say money, 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 money. All right? Money. It talks about more scriptures about money than anything else. Okay? Well, I just reject every time they talk about that, okay? As a matter of fact, some of y'all, well, it's hard to accept when God says you need to give 10%. What, are you nuts? I'm not doing that. Yep, that's a hard one. Uh-huh. But it's in the Word. All righty. Everybody doing good? Yay, Pastor D. All right. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. Praise God. Proverbs 4:10. My son, or you can say my daughter, or you just put your name, D. I'm going to put my name in there. D, listen and accept my words. I think Jesus just said that, didn't he? Right? Listen and accept my words. All righty. Listen and accept my words, and they will multiply the years of your life. Woo, baby, look, listen and accept to my words and they'll multiply the years of your life. So he's saying, if you take the word of God, you take the word of God and you accept it into your life, it says right here, it'll multiply how long you live. I want to live long, not short, right? So it says, accept, listen to my word, accept the word of God. And it'll multiply the years of your life. Hey, that was my favorite scriptures to my little kids. You need to obey me if you want to live long on the earth. It's also in the New Testament there, okay? So you write that down for your kids. I was like, oh my gosh, my mother. Isn't that an awesome scripture? Listen, look. Listen and accept my words and they will multiply the years of your life. How long you live on this earth. That's awesome. Write that down. Awesome. Okay. So we have three things Jesus tells us. One, you have to hear the word of God. Second thing we just said, you have to accept the word of God. And the third one, write this down. You need to bear fruit. You need to bear fruit. Guys, all of this is not me. This is Jesus, Mark 4, verse 20. So hear the word, accept the word, bear fruit. And Jesus says you can bear fruit and get different kinds of returns, right? You can get 30, 60, or 100. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, so the title of my message is, for all of you that are taking notes, right up here, you write the title, all right? Title. Ready? Do it, just do it. Sounds like a Nike commercial, right? That's what Nike did, just do it, all right? Do it, just do it. And here's why. Jesus is saying, basically, if you're going to bear fruit in your life, going to have God do things in your life, if you're going to bear fruit in your life, you have to do some things. You have to do some things. Really? Okay. See this plant? If I just hang it up outside, especially after last week, all right? So one, it has to be in good soil, right? Had to be in good soil. It has to be in the right kind of light. And last week, I had to take care of this thing and water it a whole bunch of times. One day, it was two times a day because I watered it in the morning about 5 o'clock. It was like all wilted, all right? So I have to do things with this. So Jesus is saying you have to do something with your life. You have to do some things with the word of God. It just doesn't happen, all right? So some people, not us, it's the church down there, right? Some people down there think, well, you know, oh, it'll be okay if I just come to church and sit. That's that some people over there, right? Just come to church and sit. So look at Matthew 7:17. Matthew 7:17. Praise God. Matthew 7:17. Say glory when you get there. Hey, that's sort of, all right. Matthew 7:17. If not, they'll pop it on the screen. So every healthy tree bears good fruit. Everybody say good fruit. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, all right? But the diseased tree bears bad fruit, all right? Remember Jesus talked about three different grounds. Think back about those three different grounds. When I think about those, I could say that that's diseased ground. Wouldn't you think? They weren't bearing fruit, so they were diseased. Those grounds weren't doing so good. I would call that they're diseased or they're not good, right? So how many of you want to be good dirt? I want to be good dirt. I want to be good ground, all right? By the way, I want you to be good ground. And Jesus wants you to be good ground. But up here, he's telling us there's some things you got to do. Okay, let's all watch. Don't get distracted. Robert, you're a blessing. We love you. Have a wonderful day. He's got places to go, and it's okay. All righty, turn over to James chapter 1, verse 22. While you're getting there, James chapter 1, 22, how many of you know the author of James is? But it's not the guys that hung out with Jesus, you know, like Peter, James, and John were up on the hill of the Mount Transfiguration. This James is Jesus' half-brother. That was the, oh, I didn't know he had other brothers and sisters. Okay, this is him. This is Jesus' half-brother who writes the book of James. And you know, the crazy thing about this James is while Jesus was alive on the earth, he didn't even believe in Jesus as the Messiah. He was, it wasn't good, all right? But after Jesus died, he, like all the puzzle pieces got together and he received Jesus as his Messiah, the Lord and Savior, okay? So here he is now after he's writing this. That was Bible trivia. You all need that. Here we go. James chapter 1, verse 22. Do what God's teaching says. Don't just listen and do nothing. Do what God's word says. Don't just listen and do nothing. All right? Everybody says, say it. Do it, just do it. Do it, just do it. Yeah. All right. So the second part says, when you only sit and listen, you're fooling yourselves. When you only sit and listen, you're fooling yourselves. I think this is a really good description of church in America. Not this church, right? Not this church, all right? Because we come and sit in rows, right? Look at nice rows. We sit and we come in here. We come in here and we listen to whoever the preacher is, right? We listen to them. And but the problem is when you come and sit and you listen and you don't do nothing. You don't do nothing. You're not doing nothing with your dirt. You're not doing anything with your dirt. All right. Write this down. This is just a really good quote. True transformation. That's what we want in our life. True transformation only comes when you do something with what you've heard. In other words, you want to be better. I want to grow up. You want me to grow up. You want me to stop having meltdowns and flesh and all this stuff. The only way I'm going to change transformation is by hearing something and doing it. Hearing and doing it, okay? You have to do what you heard. Let me give an example. Ready? It's I'm going to talk about marriages. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, honor your husbands. Adapt yourself to them. You know that message, right? You all heard that one before? Okay? And you leave church and you go, oh, that was such a nice message. You get in the car with your spouse and you go, oh, wasn't that a good talk? That was so good. All right? Anybody? You all say that about every message Pastor D preaches, right? Because we are not judging. We accept. Hallelujah. All right? But the problem is not everybody does that. They're listening. Oh, that was so nice. And then they walk out. But then pressures come on your life. Come on your life and you get a phone call like I had this week. It was really a real dear friend of mine. She called and we were just, actually I called her for a phone number and we were just catching up on life. And we, of course, what do women talk about their kids? So we're talking about our kids and she said, please pray for bleep, bleep, bleep. I go, what's going on? She said, her son's, the wife came home and said, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. I'm leaving you. They've been married 10 years and they have two little boys. And she's just heartbroken and he's heartbroken. And all of a sudden, he calls up his pastor. What do I do? What do I do? So the pastor has a counseling minute and he's telling him all these things. And you know, now he's doing all the messages the pastor preached. Yeah. Okay? So why do that? Why do that? Why not hear the word, accept the word, and do the word the first time you hear it? Like every day. Okay? Turn over to Matthew 7, verses 24 and something or other. I'll look it up, all right? 24, maybe it's 20. 24 or 25. There we go. Matthew 7, verses 24 and 25. Now, most of you know this scripture, and if you ever taught in children's ministry, you can come up and demonstrate it, okay? Okay, it's just a good one for children's ministry. You know, I always laugh about that. God's looking at all of us like children's ministry. Like, gives us these parables. That's like children's ministry. He gives us stories so we can get it. All righty. Y'all at Matthew 7, 24? Here we go. Everyone who, what? Hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a sensible man who builds his house on the rock. Okay, everybody look up here. Who's the rock? And the rock is also, Jesus is also the word, right? Jesus is called the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. So they're both interchangeable. So I'm going to read that again. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a sensible man who builds his house on Jesus or on the word, right? And down came the rain and up came the flood and the incy-bincy spider. I always say that, right? Right? You're right. Okay. Down came the rain, up came the floods, while the winds blew and roared upon that house, and it did not fall because its foundations were on the rock. Okay, guys, every time you hear the word of God preached here, every time you read the word of God, every time you watch it on your podcasts or whatever, DVDs, okay, every time that happens, you know that when I'm hearing that, at least I do, I know that's probably an area in my life I need to start doing. That's what we should say. Every time we hear the word of God, and I take it to my life, that, oh yeah, yep, I need to start doing that, all right, instead of quitting, instead of blowing up all over the place, amen, all right, so that's what Jesus was saying. Hey, you need to build your house on the rock, so it'll stand. You need to build your house on the word of God, so you're going to stand and not go crash. All right, verse 25, I won't do the incy-bincy spider here. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not follow them. Really? They don't follow them? Can be compared to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Down came the rain, up came the floods, while the wind blew and battered that house till it collapsed and fell in a great crash. All righty. Praise God. So you're going to hear the word of God? You're going to accept the word of God, and then you're going to have to start doing something. And this one, the sand, how many of you in your right mind would build a brand new, beautiful house on the sand? You got more common sense, right? Right, we got more common sense. We're not going to build our house on the sand, all right? So, what did you say over there? Yes, but they sink them. And they have to do some special construction because of the sand, all right? So they're really not sticking it on the sand. I thought about that. All right. Question. What are you building your house on? The rock, the word of God. Oh, today's Sunday. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to listen to Pastor D preach, right? Great. What about Monday? What about Tuesday? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh, I'm going to come back to church and listen to Pastor G preach a word, okay? All right? No. Jesus says you need to build your house on the word every day. Every day. Oh, you sound like my mother. Good, smart woman. All right? Every single day I'm going to build my house on the word, which Jesus is the rock, Jesus is the word, okay? I'm going to build my life on the word of God. Write that down. I'm going to build my life on the word. Every day, I'm going to build my life on the word. That scripture we just read in Matthew 7, 24 and 25, there are two things that guy did. You ready? And it's a little redundant, but get ready. Here you go. He heard the word, right? He heard the word, and then he put it into practice. He put it into practice. He heard the word and he put it into practice. So everybody say out loud, do it. Just do it. That's Jersey. All right. Do it, guys. All right. So every time you come to church, you hear the word of God, you have a choice. You can either apply this word to your life, right? Or you can walk out and go, oh, that was so nice. This one I get all the time. Crack me up, quote me. Oh, that was so nice. I'm going to get the CD and give it to my husband. I hear that a lot. Yeah. Oh, that was such a really good talk Pastor D had. Okay, listen. No, no, no. It's not a really good talk. You know why? It's me scattering seed, the word of God, out to you to be planted in your heart, right? And you get to decide what you do with it, right? You have to decide what you're going to do with it. That's such a nice good talk. No, no, no. Because Jesus said, remember, some things come immediately to steal the word. There's other things that come in your life to try to choke the word. And then, can you believe people get offended over the word? Right? So, So what are you going to allow? What are you going to allow? How about this? I'm going to take the word of God. Not just what Pastor D says. I'm so glad you came to church today. But every day I read my Bible, I'm going to take that word. I'm going to put it in my life. I'm going to apply it to my life. A matter of fact, I'm going to start now watching what I read or what I see, and I'm not get some of this junk out of my life, all right? I'm going to start putting the word, and I'm going to start bearing fruit in my life. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. Made me happy. All right. So write this down. Last thing to write down. There's three different types of people or categories, three different types of people. Ready? There's those who do not hear. I have a mic on, but it's amazing. Some people just don't hear. Okay, nobody point fingers, all right? They're here, but they don't hear. And the second type of person is they only hear. Oh, yeah, I heard, all right? And the third one is I hear, but I do something. I hear, but I do something, right? Do it, just do it. Hey, guys. The enemy doesn't care how many times you come to church. I do. I take attendance. The enemy doesn't care how many grow groups or you go to, all right? He doesn't care. He really doesn't care. He'll let you hear stuff. But as long as you don't do something with it, that's where you get him shaken. As long as you don't do something with it, he's cool. You can come in here, all right? Have you ever get around somebody? No pointing fingers. Everybody, look, eyes up here, and they can quote every scripture. Blah, 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 blah. You start the word, and they just blah 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 blah, and then you look at their life. But we don't judge, right? And you go, why don't you apply this in your own life, right? Yeah, really. Okay, so we need to be people that actively apply the word in our life. That means you get to apply it at your work because they know you're this little light of mine. I'm supposed to shine, right? You need to apply it in your work. You need to apply it in your family, especially if you're the only person that's a believer. You need to apply this in your family, all right? And this is the good one. Hey, how about you apply the word when nobody's looking? Yeah, woo, baby, all right. So let me give you an example of how this works. It's Valentine's weekend, and Pastor D preaches a sermon on love, right? I'm gonna preach on love, and I tell everybody how we're to love one another, how we're to walk in love with one another, okay? And, you know, it's really funny, but when everybody leaves, they're all lovey. Oh, let me give you a hug. You know, I'm like, oh, yeah, they sat through the love message, okay? But listen, you will not know whether or not you really believe this until you have an enemy. And I'm not talking about the devil. And then it's a person. Now, they're not the devil, but they may act like the devil. But until you have a person in your life, you know, that's push, okay? And it could be the person at your job. It could be, for a time, it could be a person in your family. It could be, for a time, a teenager. Whew, they were fun, okay? But you're going to really find out if you believe in this love one another, if you believe this, okay, when finally you have this person that comes into your life, right? And they do something or say something, and you do not punch them. You do not yell back at them. You're an idiot. You're just like your mother. You beeping, beeping. Okay? None of you have ever said that. Okay? Now I've lived life. Hallelujah. So if you react that way, then you have not heard the word, applied the word, and done the word. But how about this? Well, how about when Jesus says, love your neighbor? And you go, I have the idiot neighbor from hell next door. It was really funny. I started walking. I'm going to get back in shape in here. And there's this one side road, and there's two small houses, and they have their driveway. And in the middle, there's this green grass. And one of the neighbors, one or the other, I don't know, planted a big old pine tree. And these houses were built in the 40s. So this thing is huge, and it's over the other neighbor's driveway. So one day I came by, talk about the neighbor from hell, and they took their chainsaw and they went up one side of that pine tree. I thought, whoa, that must have been fighting words. The other side's fine. So it makes me wonder, who planted it, and who's the neighbor from hell? Okay. Wasn't that a good story? All righty. Praise God. Jesus says, love your neighbor. You know why? Because love softens hearts. Guys, love will soften their hearts so they'll finally have ears to hear that God loves them. He's got a great plan for their life. Not the chainsaw. Right? All right. Here's your challenge. Here's your homework. Get your pencil out. You all have homework. I love giving you homework. Ready? It's not hard. Homework. You ready? Write this down. What do I need to do to become good ground? Now, I just preached. It's all a message. But what? You have to get quiet, though. What do I need to do to become good ground? What do I need to do to become good ground? And the other one, what do I need to do to stay good ground? Because some of you, it's just a little adjustment, right? Others of you, oh man, we're going to change a few things, okay? So God wants us to be good ground. One, he wants to bless your life. He wants you to produce great things in your life. And it starts with having good ground. That's God's desire. I want you all to have good ground so you can have 30, 60, and 100 fold. Great stuff in your life, all right? How about we pray? Everybody close your eyes, bow your head. Praise God. Father God, I thank you for everybody in this place. I thank you that this series will help them become good dirt, good ground, good hearts. And Father, I pray that you reveal to each one of us what we need to do to remain good ground and what we need to do to become good ground. And Lord, I just pray that you give us the courage to make some of those adjustments. Holy Spirit, you just get on us, just lovingly get on us saying, hey, this is one of those things you need to clean up. You need to chop out of your life so your ground will be good. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hey, still in an attitude of prayer, everybody, close your eyes. Best part of the service here. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, pray. If you're here and you're far from God, if you're here and you know I am not right with God, can I tell you, today's the day, and it's so simple. It's so simple to come in and have a relationship with him. And I'm not asking you to join a church, but please come back to YCF. I'm not asking you if you've been baby baptized or adult baptized. I'm not asking you how many good things you've done in life, but those are all good things, right? Those are all good things. But what I'm asking you to do is, would you say, Jesus, I need you. I need you in my life. If you're here and you're the one that would say that, would you just raise your hand? Everybody else's eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. Just raise your hand and say, Pastor D, I need Jesus. And we're all going to pray with you, okay? We're all going to pray with you. Ready? Everybody ready? Oh, God, I repent of my sins. I ask Jesus into my heart. I ask him into my life. I call in the name of the Lord. I thank you. I'm now saved. I'm now a child of God. My sins are forgiven. I'm a new person. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, eyes looking up here. If you prayed that prayer, come up and see me. One, I got a free book. And two, I just want to encourage you in life and just shout and be excited with you. Also, after you receive Jesus, Jesus gave some directions. He said, after you receive, ask him to be your Lord and Savior. He says you need to be water baptized. Water baptized, okay? And water baptized means it's just something you do before people. It's an outward demonstration of what happened. And this little thing over here is our spa, and it's always warm. Sometimes you need a 24-hour notice because we have to fill it up because it evaporates. But if you've never been water baptized, come and see me, or else, you know, in those back tithes and offerings containers, write your name and say, Pastor D, I want to be water baptized, and we'll do it right after service. And I think summertime's just great because you can go home with wet hair. But praise God. All right, let's stand up. Guys, I love you. I am just delighted in what good ground is in your life, that what God's doing in your life. So let's all say, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. Y'all have a good, good week. And I have elders here. If you would like prayer for anything, we will agree in the word of God for miracles. So come on up front. We'll pray with you. There's still nice coffee back there. Background music. You are.